Have you ever heard that before, that story? Yeah, it was new to me, too. Okay, they're not all here because some of y'all are hiding. I see you. It's all right. It's all right. I know where you are. You can duck behind him. I see you. I'm going to ask a question I already know the answer to. Really, Cayenne? Do you all have brothers and sisters?
Yes.
Yeah? Do you ever fight with them?
Yes.
You do? Everybody said yes. Look, see everybody, all these adults? Hey, do y'all have brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
You ever fight with them?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it easier to make up with your friends when you fight with your friends, or easier to make up with your brothers and sisters? Oh, see, nobody's answering now. Is it easier to make up? Go ahead.
Friends.
Why is it easier to make up with your friends? Is it easier to stay angry with your brothers and sisters? Yeah. Yeah. They get on your nerves?
Yeah.
Big time? Worst thing he's ever done. No, it's okay. Longest you've ever been angry with your brother or sister before you guys made up?
3 days.
How long?
3 days.
3 days, okay. Anybody else?
Overnight.
Overnight, okay. Anybody else? Anybody else? 32 years. Nancy, can you read that parable again, please, for Joel? Anybody else? It's hard, right? Sometimes it's hard. The story we just read was about, part of the story we just read was about one brother being really upset with the other. But do you want to know something? Do you know what happens at the end with the two brothers? We don't know. It doesn't tell us. Doesn't that stink? What do you think? You think they make up? No? Yes? No? Who knows, right? It's a mystery. That's the wonderful thing about these kind of stories. They're called parables. And parables are really neat because sometimes we learn the ending to the story, and sometimes we don't necessarily learn one ending, but there are multiple endings. And there are multiple ways to interpret and read the story. Now, I want to be very careful because when we take apart Scripture and we look at it, there is an intention. Whoever the author was had a specific intention or a couple of intentions behind what they were trying to get across. Now, help me out here. What do you think some of the intentions of the prodigal son? First of all, what does prodigal mean? It means extravagant. It doesn't make sense, does it? It should be the prodigal father. But extravagant, overindulging, right? Which is really the father, not so much the kid. Right, but what do you think some of the what do you think some of the points of this story were supposed to be? Come on, you've heard this preached on 1,000 times. Yes.
Forgive people for their mistakes.
Forgive people for their mistakes. Okay, what else? Yes. Undying love. Okay, what else? Yes. Just being really, really human. Okay, which is interesting because the father is usually interpreted as God, and you're saying that actually it was a really good metaphor for a human being. Okay, great. What else? What else you got? I will come right to you directly, so you might as well raise your hand.
Humility.
Humility? Say more.
The son came back.
The son came back. Now, some would argue that he came back. Why? Because he was hungry. Right? But was he really sorry? We don't know. Could be. Oh, I like that. Now that I'll preach on next year when we come around, or in 3 years when we come around again to this story. That's right. Sometimes going back to family takes more humility than asking a stranger. Absolutely right. Yes.
He also came back in humility to say, treat me like one of your servants.
Right.
He didn't say, take me back as your son and fill
me up. Okay. Okay, because, well, yeah, and the other side of that coin is, and at least I know I'll eat. But But you're right. You're right. It's both and, right? We could go back and forth. And quite frankly, I'm not prepared to argue one over the other.
What?
I know. Write it down. Write it down, okay? Because I think both are legit. Okay, what else you got? Anything else?
The humanness of the older brother.
Oh. The humanness of, so the brother's humanity is coming out because he's jealous, and we have no resolution. Okay.
We've all been there.
All right, we've all been there. Who are the characters? Tell me who the characters are. When you hear about the father in the story, who is that? God. Go ahead. Yes. God. Okay, good. We'll go with yours, Eli. When you hear about the younger brother, who's that?
Us.
Okay, speak for yourself. Okay, us. The older brother? Us. You know, there's some weird interpretations that have come out. Like, there was an interpretation that the older brother was God. I mean, the father was God, and the younger brother is actually Jesus being sent out into the world and then coming back. And that's been discounted. There's lots of stuff that's been thrown around. The Pharisees, right? And I want to be really careful about this because in our Christian tradition, we are really quick to say, oh, man, those Pharisees, they suck. But quite frankly, we have to be careful because the Pharisees actually, most were very sincere. They really were followers of the law and followers of what they believed to be what God wanted. And so it would be dismissive to just say they were bad people blowing off Jesus, okay? So we had to be really careful of that. Anybody else? Yeah.
So I read a great thing this week where they interpreted the younger son as an LGBT son.
Oh, really? Okay, so they will preach on that in 6 years. No, I'm just kidding. You'll preach on it next time. Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
I'm always like,
that's,
what's up with that?
Good. Well, look, that's right where we are right now. Have you ever given any thought to the pigs?
They are tasty.
You were so close, Joel. So close.
They maybe got more food.
That they maybe got more food. Okay, what else? Do you know who the pigs represent in this story? Go ahead.
They're dirty.
Okay, they're dirty. Oh, we are. Go ahead. Gluttony, dirty. What else?
Low life.
Low life. Wow. Sinners. Wow. Poor piggies. I like pigs. Do you like pigs? I like pigs. Yeah. What else?
All of the things that we spend our time on and our money on.
Oh. Okay, all right. Anybody else? So back to gluttony and greed and things like that. What else? Okay, so during that time, if a farmer owns a pig, what does that say about the farmer? They're not Jewish. Right, right off the bat, they're not Jewish. So the son has left home and gone off away and has found himself in a land of the other. Right? Somebody who's not Jewish. Mm-hmm. Now, he has taken everything that has been given to him by his dad, and he has just spent it left and right, extravagant, right? He didn't give any consideration on what he was spending. He just blew it, right? Burning a hole in his pocket, blew the wad, everything that you think about, that's what he did. Until he finds himself in the land of the other during a famine. And is taken in by a farmer who's raising pigs. And pigs were considered unclean. If you read any part of the Hebrew scripture, you will find that it was prohibitive. You did not eat, touch, look at, consider, call them by name pigs. In fact, in the New Testament, they're thrown over a cliff, right? So pigs are all of those things that you just mentioned. And they are a good metaphor for the other. So imagine you're a piggy, minding your own business, sitting in your muck, and somebody who sees you as less than has the nerve to show up and sit in there with you. And that person that sees you wants your food. Because even though they consider you less than, you're still eating and they're not. If you were the pig, what would you do? You don't have to answer that. My, how old, 21, 20, our kids? Yeah, okay. So when they were in high school, middle school, my kids in Manitou, Manitou has a pretty high homeless population. And they hang out in Soda Spring Park. Still? Yeah. And there is a pretty decent drug traffic that happens down there too. Now, I don't know if this is still the case there, but when I worked there a number of years ago at the church in Manitou, there were this particular group, small, of homeless, and this is not a judgmental statement. This is not a judgment, just an observation. And they were called Trustafarians. Anyone? What's that? By the townspeople and by other homeless folk. They were called Trustafarians. Can you imagine why they were called Trustafarians? They had rich parents. They were coming into Manitou because they thought it was in vogue to live as homeless people in the park. And so they dressed as those who did not have a choice. They dressed as the other. They begged as the other. They would utilize resources as the other. And then when it got too difficult for them, what did they do? They went home. Parables are notorious. When Jesus tells a parable in the Gospels, he is notoriously flipping the outcome, right? That's the whole scoop. So I'm taking a little liberty here and flipping the outcome. Because all I kept thinking about is, this young man gets to go home to a home of privilege, even with all the baggage that family clearly has, to a good meal, and a robe, and a ring, and shoes on his feet. But what happens to the farmer who's trying to eke out a living with pigs who is willing to take him in? What about the pigs that are counting on the smallest scraps of food because, after all, it is a famine, and they're not getting that much. In fact, they're probably going to see the end of their days pretty soon. And what about that whole country where he squalored, or that whole city where he squalored his money for nothing, leaving those who are now starving as he gets to make his way home? What about them? Did you ever wonder about them? Those that were left behind? Those who had to deal with the famine? Those who had to live in the muck? Those who were considered less than because of the food that they did have and the way that they did live their lives? I didn't see the invitation in this parable inviting them all back. Did you? So I'm really annoyed. I'm annoyed at the dad. I'm annoyed at the younger, selfish brother. And I'm annoyed at the older brother, because all of them are just thinking about themselves, aren't they? Now, don't get me wrong. I don't really think that that's what Jesus was trying to preach. And yet, in the 21st century, it is so easy to take a story and look at it through our own lens and condense it into a nice, simple little story without consideration for the other characters. And we do that all the time, don't we? We relate to things. We can see how we fit in there, and we can create a story that either revolves around us or gives us a little bit of insight into our own lives. But it's very rare that we then step outside and say, who else is being left out in this story? Where was Mom? That's another parable for another time. But isn't it so easy to leave out so many others
when we are so focused on what things mean in our own lives. And so my invitation to you is to start thinking a little bit like the pig. If for no other reason, to help you recognize what it may feel like to be excluded from the house on the hill where everybody gets to go home and have a good meal. Amen.